The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
There are a few things you should consider when taking a new job.
All right.
How well you will fit in at that company.
Sure.
What your future could look like 10, 20, 30
years. Where do I see myself?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But one of the more underrated, however, very important things.
What's that?
How much self-control you'll need if you take that job.
The temptations, buddy.
There are some places that will give you access to all kinds of stuff that you can just take.
You're talking big money.
We're talking money. We're talking goods. We're talking whatever. And you could just take them.
Yeah.
As long as no one else is looking.
Mm-hmm.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, a woman from Ontario County is facing some pretty serious charges this morning. The 21-year-old woman was working Calm down.
Yep.
Now, usually they're older women. I'm not saying it's sexually.
That's the way you said it.
She young.
Fresh into her
20s. Not even out of college yet. Mm. The 21-year-old was working as an employee at the ESL Federal Credit Union. Authorities say while working, she stole money from the accounts of customers. While working at the Recreation Drive branch, authorities say she pocketed over $60,000.
Is she 21?
21, $60,000. That allegedly happened. Again, not. It still feels creepy.
Yeah.
Hmm. Damn, 21, young. Damn, girl.
She's got 60 large on her.
Not anymore. She doesn't.
Oh.
So that theft of $60,000 allegedly happened between March and August, which means she averaged around $10,000 a month.
Man, what a haul!
So the story clearly says, she was withdrawing money from the accounts of these customers. So before we get into the actual story here, if you're an employee of the bank, you just have access to people's.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Well, you can't move money around, I guess, right, once you're in?
And you know their information.
But, like, I can just, how do you walk out of there with the money?
I always figured, you had to have all my information. Because, like, even when you go to the bank, you had to put in your own codes.
Oh.
To, like, do things.
I haven't been to the bank, inside the bank.
I haven't either, but once in a while when I've done it, I have my own codes. I have to type. She can't do it.
You got codes? What, like you got a nuclear weapon somewhere?
Yeah, you type it in there.
So this 21-year-old woman, according to the allegations, and by the way, if you have worked at a bank, work at a bank, I can just take money out of people's accounts? How does that work?
And you're gonna, you're gonna notice that too, that there's withdrawals on your account.
I would think so.
You're gonna, like,
because you're alerted to that immediately.
Yeah, your apps will tell you, hey, this just happened.
Unless you could pick and choose who you think may not check their bank account.
That's got to be it. You know who has the most money.
That'd be the old folk.
You chip away a little at a time so they wouldn't notice it, or it's, you know.
Yeah.
So she's been charged with grand larceny, obviously, $60,000. She has a court date coming up. And this woman, outside of the actual tale of the stealing here, may have broken one of the most important things you must consider when you take a new job.
What's that?
How well you can trust yourself with the things you have access to.
Ah, the temptations of work.
You got it. If the allegations are true with this woman, it seems she had access to all the money the customers of that branch had in their account. And Kimmy, we've never really seen a story like this.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, when I say story like this, we've never seen someone who works at a bank taking money out of people's accounts.
Not personal accounts, no. Or at least they didn't say that's the way they got the money.
So that means one of two things.
What's that?
either other folks who work at banks have better self-control and they walked into this job knowing, look, I'm going to have access to this money. I need to be able to not take it. Or those same people were afraid of what could happen to them, which kept them from stealing. Either way, they stayed in line. Allegations with this woman, not so much.
It's very hard, too, because of her age. She has no track record. So, like, if you're hiring her and she could go, yeah, I'm trustworthy, but how do you prove that? Like, if you hired a 45-year-old person, at least you've got a track record. You could follow like their work history.
You're right.
She's got no work history.
But even that also works against her, too, because at 21 years old, she doesn't know how well she will be tempted in a situation like that.
And maybe at 21, you're not completely aware of I guess, how obvious it could be or how easily it would be to track that missing money.
I mean, look, if the allegations are true, she got away with it for 6 months.
Yeah, which
true. Unless,
right?
But I would think in a job like that, all eyes are going to be on you.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Apparently, well, at least not for 6 months, maybe, if the allegations are true. All right, so with this whole story, 21-year-old woman allegedly taking $60,000 over 6 months out of the accounts of people who were working at the branch of her bank east of us.
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Do you know how you'd fare in a job with stuff you could just take? I mean, we know how you would fare.
But look who's talking, man.
What did I do?
You stole from your family.
What are you talking about?
Really?
What?
You stole quarters from your mother?
I stole $10 in quarters to go to the Auntie Anne's Pretzels and the Hess Express on Chile Avenue.
So we know you can't be trusted with pretzels or money.
That's true. Especially pretzels.
Yeah, the temptation, and even if you don't act on it.
Which you wouldn't know about.
But
second something shows up.
But you would think about it. Like, think how many people would just the thought of the temptation would have to get in your head.
Just your imagination.
Right. You don't you think?
Yes, no. I think there are good people out there.
But they could still think about
it. I don't know, because I think once you start thinking, you've already committed the crime. Right? Like, you're a bad person, so maybe that's hard for you to wrap your head around. Like, you're a perfect example of this, Tommy.
Oh, thank you.
You had a great job cutting meat at the Windix.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Low pressure.
Yeah.
Paid you well. Fantastic job security.
Oh, yeah.
And you robbed that place blind for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
You took tens of thousands of dollars in razor blades out of that grocery store. We're not exaggerating.
Look at that. Smooth that is.
Yeah, you look great. Yeah. And you'd have if you had gotten caught, you'd be in the exact same spot this woman is, right?
I'd be on TV at least.
Do most people know their limits when it comes to the temptation? Did you think you were going to rob that place blind when you took that job?
No, of course not.
So you didn't know?
No.
It wasn't until you were exposed to that stuff that you realized, I can't be trusted.
Mm-hmm. And you watch other people steal and you go, oh, they got away with it.
But like, you took it to another level. There's no way there was someone stealing more than you at that grocery store.
I had to be top 10 company-wide out of 1,500 stores. I definitely made the playoffs every year.
All right, so let me ask you this, then. Mm. Let's say tomorrow we lose our jobs, which is not out of the question, and you've got no money saved. You got to get another gig.
Mm.
Could you, knowing what you know about yourself, work in a bank?
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think that? Like, why would you trust yourself there and not at your other job?
Oh, I don't trust myself, but I would take that job.
You're going to go to jail.
Well, that's what he's asking. Do you
I think at my age, yes, I know the consequences of my age. No, I'm not going to risk the end of my life sitting behind bars. No.
Bro, you knew you say this like at the Winn-Dixie, you were like 12. You were a man in your late 20s into early 30s.
Right, but I mean, you're not thinking of your mortality at the end of your life or retirement.
Okay. I don't think you have the self-control to work at a bank.
Why do you ask me a question?
Uh-huh.
I give you an honest answer, and then you debate my personal feelings about something that hasn't happened.
Well, counterpoint to that question, my question to you would be, why do you lie?
Well,
everything you have done in your life up to this point tells me it's a lie. You go, I've turned over a new leaf. I've looked under the
rug. I don't steal anymore. I'm comfortable now.
Do you think he also...
I got there, man.
You didn't get there. Your wife dragged you there over the finish line like a dead body.
She got me there.
It was like a Tough Mudder where one person passed out halfway through.
Do you think he also, in your head, like you separate stealing items from stealing actual cash?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
People don't see like stealing items from work as theft.
Yeah, so they can write that stuff off. It's called shrinkage.
So like, no, I would never steal cash from work, but you also have like this box of free stuff that you walked out with.
But they bill it back to the supplier, so the supplier eats the cost.
But I guess
the
that's what I mean. Maybe some people who would steal from work draw the line at cash because they feel like that's going too far.
No, that's a valid point.
Or more traceable.
I never took cold cash.
Yeah.
Because you never had access to cash.
I had access to the cash.
What did they hide 20 grand inside the meat?
What's that?
Didn't you know, like, the safe combo?
Yeah, when
you
I was
an
assistant
it.
Manager for a while, that's when I got held up at gunpoint.
Did you?
Yeah.
How much money went missing?
All of it. Oh, yeah, like he was cutting a deal with me. What?
I'm just saying, a man peeing his pants seems a little over the top when he's getting armed robbery. And then, oh, he was unconscious. I didn't see anything. Were you in on that?
Oh, yeah, inside job.
I mean, the statute of limitations is passed. You can admit to it.
No.
Oh, my God. Were you in on that robbery?
Yeah, it was my old thing. I was into bank robberies and
well, it wasn't
money
a bank,
heist.
It was a grocery store.
Well, I had a bank.
Talking awfully fast all of a sudden. Tell me what happened. Senator! 252 WCMF. We're talking about this 21-year-old woman in Ontario County. She's been arrested after police say while working as an employee at the ESL Federal Credit Union, a branch out there, she stole over $60,000 between March and August, so about 10 grand a month on average. And, I mean, it seems like the temptation, if the allegations are true, too much for her. Mm. And we're talking about, do you know yourself well enough? Do you have the ability to avoid the temptation when taking a job that has things you can just put in your pocket? Jimmy's on CMF. Hey, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how these people can live with themselves. Don't they know there's cameras, there's checks and balances? They're going to get caught. Remember you did the story about the postal lady that was stealing, you know. I don't understand where these people come from. These are jobs that they watch you at.
Okay. Well, Jimmy, I do want to start with, I love that Jimmy is the moral compass of the show. He's like he's the Jiminy Cricket, if you
yes,
will,
yeah, yeah.
of everything here.
Yeah.
And one day we'll be real boys thanks to the advice of Jimmy. Jimmy, first of all, I think you're being naive to think that everyone who gets caught are the only people doing these things. I think that there are postal workers who steal and get away with it. There must be people who work at banks who do this. Every mom vic that we talk about are not
true.
The only mom
these
vics.
These are only the ones we know about.
Exactly. And second, Jimmy, I think there's an arrogance of believing you've got it figured out. You're not the one that's going
right.
to get caught.
You've seen other people do it.
Man.
Well, I don't know. I just the way I was brought up, there's some things I can't do. I'm not a saint, but there's... Stealing, I mean, when you're stealing money, everything has a paper trail nowadays. It's not like it. I mean, I don't get it.
Look, I'm with you, Jimmy. I agree with you. I would not take that risk. I think it's much harder to get away with it now than it is
back in the day. Some people are desperate. Well, they're desperate. They need the cash, and they don't even care.
Okay, well, that's what we assume when we talk about these stories.
No, he assumes because he wants a way out to make himself look better.
I mean, this poor girl. She's 21. She probably came up tough.
Yeah.
You know. Struggling.
Needed 60 grand.
Needed 60 grand because, you know, everybody's got the new purse and she felt left out.
Jimmy, good to talk to you, buddy. All have a good rest of the day.
There goes Jimmy. Oh, honest Jimmy. Never did a damn thing wrong.
I mean, here's the thing. I do believe Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I do believe Jimmy.
He's the guy that all of his coworkers hid it from at work. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, well, we're going to do this, but don't tell Jimmy.
Jimmy has too much conviction when he calls the show to talk about how angry he is about the stealing to be lying. And
Jimmy don't lie.
And he don't
care.
Well,
yeah, because there's a paper trail.
Well, you got to hurt honest Jimmy.
I just had a paper trail.
You know how bad it is?
How is it?
The guys he worked with?
Yeah.
They stole his R's. He had them all, and he turned the other way, and now he's got to talk like this. I would be afraid to work at a place that has access to cash like a bank.
Yeah.
Because there are folks that would go in thinking they could take. I know those people exist. Mm. There's also a sneaky scenario that could show up, and I know this is me.
What's that?
Eventually, you think you have figured out a way to rip the place off.
Like, you've been there so long, you're now comfortable.
Well,
you're
know,
a
the
little
weak
too
spots.
Comfortable.
Bingo. Comfortability and the weak spots. Both of those two things.
Everything has a blind spot somewhere.
Yeah. And it turns out that you're smarter than everybody else. You figured it out. And no one's paying attention when you dip your hand in that till, and no one's going to know. And that's how you end up with your face in the news.
And the other problem working at a bank, you know what everybody's worth. And you know what you're worth. And when you start seeing people that have way more money than you, and let's say you get a rich customer who's a complete ass to you personally, and you have access to their money.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of factors.
Oh, buddy.
It's a good point. I mean, just out of spite. See, now I want to get a job at a bank to steal from people. See what you're doing to me? Let's go. You want to get a job
arrogant,
at a bank?
Arrogant, rich bitch coming in there. With a fancy purse or a fancy car.
Wait,
dog.
Wait, a second ago that she was stealing to get a fancy purse because everyone had
No,
a fancy
this is
purse.
The customer.
No, but I'm saying, but now she's becoming one of them.
Yes.
You would have been cool without the fancy purse, man, but now you're one of her, man.
I would love to know how many people were affected by this. Like, was this a theft from just like a few customers or were there like, was there a little bit taken from a lot of people?
We don't have a number.
I know.
We don't have a number. Hopefully, we'll get more details as the story moves on. $60,000 is
a lot
of money. We could get a little
over less than a year's time.
You know, the weirdest thing about this phenomenon, there are two things we have to consider before we move on.
What's that?
The person caught stealing from work is rarely the person you think is stealing from work.
Yeah, they're running under the radar.
Well, no, what I mean is, like, we have this idea of what criminals look like.
Mm-hmm.
And there are folks that you look at as trashy at your job, busted, menacing, whatever. They can have the most rock-solid moral compass, despite the fact that you suspect them. Meanwhile, that well-to-do, great-dressed, well-liked employee is robbing the place blind.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in our own lives.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen it on the news. Remember, Kimmy, that small-town mom, Vic? She was named Citizen of the Year town just months before being allegedly busted for allegedly stealing from the Chamber of Commerce.
I will say, too, if you're, like, an attractive person, I would think you could really do some damage.
I mean, that might make sense with this story. 21-year-old woman working at a bank?
Yeah.
Right?
Sweet kid.
Fresh out of college.
I didn't say that.
You didn't have to. You didn't have to.
You could see it in your eyes.
The eyes looking at those girls fresh out of college. Yeah.
You're doing it for me.
I know, man. That's how bad it
is. I'm going home.
It's gross. And by the way, you know, the worst thing that can happen with stories like this, you think the worst thing that can happen is you getting busted,
right?
And you're wrong. The worst thing that can happen is you trying it once and getting away with it.
Oh, yeah, you get a taste for it.
That's right, because at that point, it's only a matter of time before you get in trouble. You won't have the self-control to stop.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to figure it out. You're just living on borrowed time.
And you're 21. You're going to go out and have fun with that money.
No.
It's not like you're socking it away for the future.
It feels like you're almost sympathetic towards this woman.
No, but I'm just saying, like, she's going to have fun with it.
Well, yeah.
We don't know. Maybe she never got a chance.
No, she had 6 months, 60 grand. Yeah. No, Tommy's right. You're not putting
you're
that
having
in a
fun.
CD.
I hope you had fun with it.
Yeah.
Well, because you're going to pay for it. Although, 21, even with a minimum wage job the rest of your life, you'll have plenty of time to pay restitution.
Yeah, true.
All right, so the moral of the story is...
Don't steal money from... That's what Jimmy says.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty good moral.
Jimmy says, don't take money.
I'm just... Even if you don't have the moral compass and I take money, you don't want to end up in jail.
Thou shall not steal.
That's a pretty good rule to live by.
They should put it on, like, a commandment.
Put it on a commandment?
Yeah.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
21 is the legal age to drink in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of you older folks, it was 18.
Yeah.
But for most people, before you hit that age of legalité, Your Majesty,
mm-hmm.
there was an adult in your life who offered you a drink before the government said it was okay. There's a man in the news today for just that reason.
Oh.
And tell me if the allegations are true. He may have set a record for the youngest person ever offered a drink by a grown-ass person. According to police, the story starts with this man, who police say was already highly intoxicated before this,
all right.
offering a drink to an underage kid.
Okay.
Now, Tommy, I want you to think in your head. I want you to guess how old that kid is. Keeping in mind, we said he may have set a record for the youngest person offered a drink by a legal adult. You want to take a shot?
At the age?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 9.
9. Okay.
Pops Kimmy, into my head.
You saw this story, right?
Yeah, Kimmy? I did.
According to police, this 28-year-old man offered a drink to a 5-year-old kid.
Five?
Five.
Damn.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You only need one hand.
Yes.
That's how young this kid was. Police say he gave the alcoholic beverage to a 5-year-old at a business on South Main Street while he was taking care of the child. Police say when they got there and told him he was under arrest, things somehow got worse.
Oh.
He is accused of attempting to flee, but before being caught and apprehended, but he still wasn't done there.
Oh.
Police say he then headbutted a police car.
And a car?
He headbutted the car. Car one.
Yeah.
And then he allegedly kicked out the rear window of said police car.
Oh, my God.
He's been charged with endangering the welfare of a child, criminal mischief, obstruction, and resisting arrest. Offering a 5-year-old kid a drink is something you probably never thought you'd hear in a news story.
Nope.
And it's not a good scene. Quick sidebar before we get into what we're going to talk about here. I don't know in this story if I'm hoping this is his kid. Or if I'm hoping that he was watching this kid for somebody else. Because either scenario is not good. Not good, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, if this is his kid, you got some... But if you're watching it for somebody else, could you imagine your
wife... You got to deal with that.
No.
Tommy, like,
no.
You know, you... Okay.
No.
All right, now, putting that story in the rear view, because it's not the best story in the whole world. Tommy, you would agree most people, if not all people, listening to this show... had been offered an alcoholic beverage by an adult before they hit legal
age. Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Do you remember the age an adult offered you your first drink before you were legal? And I know you do, and we'll get to it in a second. Mm. But as we go down the list of people who are most likely to offer you your first drink before 18 back in the day or 21 now, are parents number one on that list of potential offerers?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's that feeling of being safe in your own home, like nobody else will know, or that kind of situation.
There are parents who also see it as a bonding experience, right? Maybe more back in the day than now, but like being able to share that first beer with your son, or like that first glass of wine with your daughter.
But it's such a mixed message to send to a kid. How are they supposed to interpret that?
How do you mean?
So the first time I ever had a sip of anything was I'm a little kid. My father's drinking. And I'm like, what is that? And I think it was like a scotch and soda. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you want to try it. Hey, it's not very good, is it? And it was disgusting. It was like I made a face and stuff. I remember that. He goes, Ian, don't ever touch it.
Sure, he made a face. And to this day, that face is stuck on
his face. But like, it's a mixed message. You're sitting here enjoying this. You're telling me this is terrible and don't ever touch it, but you offered me a sip of your scotch.
I also wondered.
And he also thought it was funny. Sorry, but
no, you're okay.
Because you make a face.
Yeah.
And
they
think that's funny, too.
Yeah.
And I also wonder if parents do that hoping you're going to think it's gross and not want to try it again for a while.
I think that's
the
idea.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Like your first taste of alcohol is disgusting.
Yeah.
Why would you enjoy this?
The most likely candidates outside of mom and dad. Okay, so mom and dad will be one.
Mm-hmm.
Drunk uncle or drunkle has to be number two.
And I've had that, too. Like, you know, or I had, like, relatives, you know, because you're Italian, there's wine everywhere.
Yeah.
So I remember having wine, sip of wine and all that stuff. Yeah, we did it. So I remember, like, New Year's Eve. If my parents were home and I had New Year's Eve party, I had a taste of champagne as a kid.
Yeah, that's a common thing. And then third on that list, it's got to be grandpa. Grandpa, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, so mom and dad, drunkle, or grandpa. Outside of those three people, it becomes less down homey. And not that it's good in the first place, but like you can make an argument. You know, Kimmy said, safe in the home, people that care about you. Outside of those three people, it becomes less family and more creepy.
Yeah.
Because, Kimmy, I would guess for women,
there
is way more of a chance they were offered their first alcoholic drink from a legal person by someone who was trying to impress them while they were underage. You're at a party, you're 17, 18, there's that weirdo 21, 22-year-old, he's still wearing his Letterman's jacket.
17, 18 probably isn't most people's first taste
of alcohol. Not just your first taste of alcohol, the first offering from an adult.
Hmm.
Because you're right.
I don't know about that.
You may have had your first drink before an adult offered you that drink. But I mean that first time someone that was over legal drinking age went to you and go, here, have this drink. Here, I got something for you. Here, try this.
Could be. It was usually your parents. I don't know. I can't think of like a what do you mean by an adult? Like somebody that your parents knew?
Okay, so I have these memories of going to like bonfire parties when I was like in high school.
Okay, so you're talking about like other people's parents.
Well, no. Okay, so that could be one of them also. What I mean is like I remember being 16, 17 and we'd be at somebody's house and they would have like a neighbor or like some kid that was friends with an 18-year-old kid because they like played football together two or 3 years ago. And they'd show up at 21 at the party and they'd be like, oh, hey, ladies, here. And they'd start handing out drinks to everybody. Huh. I meant something like
that. I mean,
that.
I remember like people's older siblings buying the alcohol, but not to the point where like they were like, here's your first drink. It was like, sure, I'll go buy that for you now, leave me alone, kind of thing.
So Tommy, you've told a story on the air in the past, and this it still blows my mind to this day. The first person outside of your family to offer you a drink.
So it was my dad's business partner. We're over at their house. It was a big cocktail party, and he specifically bought me ponies. Little Bud ponies, Budweiser's are like 6 8-ounce cans. Okay. So I could have a drink at the party. So I remember having a can of little tiny can of Budweiser at this party.
So you were like 16, 17?
I was a child. Yeah. So we hadn't moved to Florida yet, so I had to have been this is my dad's old business partner in Jersey. So I was probably 7 or 8.
Oh my God.
And then when I went to military school, we paid a guy outside an ABC liquor, you know, one of those government liquor stores, to buy us booze that we took back to the dorm and got drunk. That was the first time I got major amount of demerits.
Going back to the 7, 8-year-old, because, you know, you hear the story of a 5-year-old and you go, oh, my God, and then you tell that story and everyone was fine with it at the party. Did you actually drink the beer?
Oh, yeah.
And you liked it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I probably just did it because of...
It looked cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And I was probably getting dizzy.
I am surprised with all the things that you say you let your like nieces and nephews get away with when you were watching them. Like that you weren't that drunkle for your family members.
Like giving them alcohol?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saved that for Pet. No, I don't think... No, I have given my under... So my... Yes, I gave my niece a drink one time. At my brother's house.
How old would she have been?
She was just graduated high school. Okay. She was going to college. Okay. I've done stuff like that.
Okay. Can I just pause the conversation real quick? Because, again, talking about the story of a 28-year-old man out in Canandaigua arrested after police say he gave an alcoholic drink to a 5-year-old kid at a business on Main Street. Then a bunch of other crazy stuff happened. You started this conversation as we talked about parents, right? And you, with the background you have with alcohol and, you know, the issues, the troubles, if you will, said... You know, it's a mixed message. You know, you almost as if like it's a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And then literally 5 minutes later, I gave my niece a drink of alcohol.
But you remember I told you there was a girl at work I was trying to get into her pants.
Okay.
And she was of legal sexual age, but not drinking age.
Why did that feel like the most uncomfortable thing he's ever said? He paused. That's what he thought the smart answer was to that.
She was of
relationship age.
So she was 18, and I was working with her, and I did buy her alcohol.
I can't look you in the face right now.
To try to get into her pants.
Yep.
But she was she wasn't legal drinking age. No, it was 21.
Not.
But she was 18.
Okay.
What? That's legal-ish.
No, it is the definition
some legal, of illegal. It's a legal mixed waters of salt and fresh.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
No, but like she was of legal age sexually, but she wasn't legal age.
You bought her alcohol underage. That's illegal.
So, right.
So she used you.
Use me all you want, darling. No, but I was trying to get laid.
Yeah, did it work?
Kind of.
For God's sakes, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. All right, tell the Pony Can story. Kimmy, do you remember the first grown adult who offered you alcohol?
I remember my parents would always go to like neighborhood New Year's Eve parties.
Okay.
It might have even been a Super Bowl party. They did both. So I remember them giving kids like champagne and stuff during New Year's. I don't know how old I was, but I was old enough to remember it.
So ballpark?
Maybe like fifth or sixth grade.
Okay, so 12, 13?
But that was probably the first time I had ever actually taken a sip of real alcohol.
So, like, if I don't know if your parents ever had like regular cocktail parties where,
you know, my dad, smoking jacket, snifter brandy, the whole nine.
So one of the things I used to love to do when I was a little kid, too, after I had had a taste of alcohol, was if nobody was looking and I was still up, if there were drinks sitting there that weren't finished, I would try those.
That's gross.
it was like a hit or miss. But there was some of this stuff that was gross to me, but the sugary stuff was delicious.
Yeah, and that's the other problem. Like, especially now, like, sugary old guy drinks.
Like, a whiskey sour was really tasty. A rum and Coke was really tasty.
Well, think about, like,
any vodka drink.
Think about those seltzers right now.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
the margaritas
yeah,
in a
yes.
can.
That's candy.
Well, I remember, that just reminded me, as a kid, I think my first, like, full alcoholic drink, we had gone out to eat at a chain restaurant, and all the kids that we were with, they all wanted the strawberry daiquiris, but like the virgin strawberry daiquiris, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, apparently that wasn't communicated, and they gave all the kids that ordered that a regular strawberry daiquiri.
How old?
It had to be middle school.
Oh,
so delish, maybe
like,
though.
I bet you it had to be like seventh, eighth grade.
Like that and a pina colada, man. Those things are delicious.
I remember the waitress coming over like crying. It was like not a good situation, but we all finished them.
Yeah, any of those boat drinks.
I mean, it's still a guilty pleasure for me.
People love them.
I get hammered pina coladas all day
long. But it's like pure sugar. It's delicious. Yeah. It's like drinking a dessert.
252 WC Matt, for talking about the first alcoholic drink you were offered by someone of legal age while you were underage. Coming off the story out in Canandaigua of a 28-year-old man who police say offered a drink to a 5-year-old kid. We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the Break Room Facebook page. Brian writes us, my neighbor gave me my first beer at 13 after I finished helping him clean up sticks at his yard.
Yeah, did he show you any other sticks?
Brian goes on. He opened it, gave it to me, and said men drink after a hard day's work. His wife had left him, and his family didn't visit him. That checks out. That all checks out.
I hate women. Have a beer, boy.
I didn't have neighbor on the bingo board of first alcoholic drink offer. That's a pretty big risk on the neighbor's part.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Liz writes us on Facebook. She says, I started drinking wine with my mom when I was around 16 every once in a while, just having girl time, and we are Italian, so I think that's common. I still go over and do it. My daughter is 6 now, but I plan on doing it with her, too. Okay, so she doesn't see anything wrong with it.
Mom's little drinking buddy.
And here's the thing, you know, I think that as we have this conversation, especially with your experiences, it was more common back in the day to give kids alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Liz, let me look at her picture here. She's got a 6-year-old. Yeah, she looks younger than me.
Okay.
So that means, Kimmy, this might have been happening in 2010, 2015, and she's got a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
Maybe people are still doing this, just not talking about it as much because of the liability?
But it's the worst idea in the world.
You literally just copped to doing it to multiple people.
I know, and it was a bad idea.
You did it to me!
It was a good idea.
I learned it from watching you! You snorted, you creep! You know, the people who offered you those drinks, do they still think it was a good idea?
Probably.
Because
sure you justify it.
Because Tommy's sitting here saying it's a bad idea.
It is a bad idea. I mean, alcohol is a bad.
For other people to do it.
But alcohol is never a good idea.
Yeah.
Like once it gets a hold of you, you're effed, and it's going to stick with you for the rest of your life. Even if you give it up, you're still going to be trapped by it.
You ain't wrong, man.
It's going to be in the back of your head for the rest of your life. It's just the worst.
I mean. It's funny, too, like when you talk about the people who offered you those drinks, right? Are they the people you thought would have offered you those drinks? Because, like, the drunkle is probably the least surprising of all of them.
But kind of good times.
But we've also heard of the new rising adult alcohol giver, the wine aunt.
Well, I wouldn't call her a wine aunt, the wannabe cool aunt.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Okay.
You know, if anything ever happens, you can call me. I'll pick you up. I will get you this. It's kind of like that aunt that just...
She's a bad influence.
Yeah, well,
she's also
good at
point.
She just wants you to, it's more of like a friend aunt.
But she also wants to be cool.
Yeah, no,
like the motivation is I want you to like me. I want you to think
that's
the
point.
Cool adult.
I think it's less about the alcohol and more about wanting your affection, I guess.
Like, I'm waiting to see, because I know that I got at least one wine aunt in my siblings, right? And I'm waiting, because my oldest is hitting 14 now.
Yeah.
And we're getting to that age where that scenario could pop up, and I'm laying in the weeds. Waiting to see which one of my sisters pops as the wine aunt.
You're not going to know. She's gonna take your kid aside when you're not looking.
I will lose my GD mind if I got a wine aunt in my family. Because my dad's smart enough to not pull that.
Know his boundaries.
Exactly. Like, and I don't think my mom is my mom. Like,
what about your wife's side?
Oh, no.
They're strict?
Well, you're, I mean, most of them.
I mean, I don't know.
Here,
I mean, would they also?
I met them for the first time when my wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
And they didn't talk to my wife for a year.
Oh.
I don't think that.
These are really good
don't
people.
Don't think you have to worry about that.
Okay.
True story. They did not speak to my wife until the day of her wedding when they surprise showed up. Hey, great to see you guys. Really looking forward to forging this relationship.
So, yeah, yeah, I can't imagine pulling that move now.
Especially as a parent.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most surprising one now, right? One, because the liability is so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the inside the house. And look, I'm not going to judge you too harshly because, you know, I do come from a different time, mm-hmm. right? But in the mind of a teenager, as I'm watching my 14-year-old get older,
mm-hmm.
if mom and dad let you do something once, it feels like kids think it's okay forever.
Yeah.
And as a dad, I would worry if I let my 15, 16, 17-year-old kid have a drink with
me. It's your stamp of approval.
Exactly. Right? Precedent has been set.
Yeah.
Right? They now may either see this as a regular thing with me, which is a problem, or if they're away from me and they're going to go do that stuff, well, my dad lets me do it at
home,
so what's the big
deal? Dad said it was okay.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, so I can see in your face too, like you're how torn you are with this whole thing.
I'm torn. Alcohol always tugs me both ways. It does.
No, you don't have to say it like that. So what, look,
tugging?
We're getting tug you both ways.
Yeah,
it's going to cost you extra.
It always does.
Yeah, we're getting a
the
lot of stuff.
Second way is never that great.
We're getting a lot of stuff. People writing us about how it's legal for parents to give their own kids alcohol in the safety of their own home.
How
Andrew
is that,
was one of them.
And why is that a law?
It's fair. Is it not a fair law?
No, it's a terrible law.
Okay.
You can't get hurt at home.
Look, I don't necessarily disagree with you.
Like, all the things that can kill you outside, they're also in your house.
It is funny, though, how like that, you don't have that for marijuana.
No.
You don't have that for cigarettes, right. But you have it for alcohol.
I think about this. If you're giving your kid alcohol, you're also drinking alcohol. It isn't like you're not drinking alcohol, but you're offering it to your kid. So now you've got a parent that is drinking, offering alcohol to a kid who you're supposed to be watching, who is now also drinking.
Fair enough, but
it's a disaster.
But there's a difference between having a drink with your kid, and now you make me sound like I'm defending it. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying, like, you know, it becomes an interesting debate about parental rights and who knows what's best for your kid.
All right. But alcohol's never a good choice for your child's brain.
You lead the league in alcohol given to underage
I understand
kids.
That.
You are the Tom Brady.
Listen, I am embarrassed by my behavior.
Okay.
And I'm embarrassed by my relationship and my struggles with booze.
Okay.
And it's every day is a loss. So I get it.
All right. And that's fair enough. Counterpoint to that. If you didn't give a 15-year-old alcohol, you may be working at Wegmans right now. So shut up.
Look at that.
Which would have been great.
There are some names that are so iconic.
Yeah.
Literally anything they have touched is worth a fortune. Mm. And with this man's icon status and this movie for people of a certain age being like the creme de la creme of this type of movie.
Oh.
There's no way these only go for what they're expecting.
Can't wait to hear what it is.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Are you a Bruce Lee guy?
I followed him. Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Like, there are some guys that are super into kung fu.
I mean, his story is bigger than his movies to me.
Okay, so you're a snob is what you're
Yeah.
You're Bruce Lee snob.
I'm more into his personal story than I am into the movies, man. You know, if you want to be a movie guy, that's cool, but I don't think you're getting deep enough in the Lee.
But he is a global icon.
Yes, he is. Bruce Lee has several pieces of personal memorabilia that's about to be auctioned off.
Yeah.
Right? Among the iconic items being auctioned will be his legendary nunchucks from the movie Enter the Dragon.
Damn.
They were handmade to his specification. They were the ones that he actually uses in the movie. So you've seen them on film.
All right.
And they can be yours.
How much?
If the price is right. So it's an auction, but they have an estimate of what they think they'll go for. Tommy, do you want to take a shot?
$50,000.
You hit it right on the head.
Wow. You're kidding me.
You hit it right. Wow, you finally did
Thank
it.
You. Thank you.
I didn't know you were Bruce Lee fact.
Proudy. Well, because he's more into the life.
I'm actually surprised it's not more.
It's going to be more.
Yeah.
I mean, like, these are one of a kind.
But don't forget, he's a global icon, so you're dealing with people that love him.
Right.
You're thinking of, like, rich Asian businessman.
How did I say?
Drives everything up.
There's going to be a
Hong Kong billionaire or a dude in Tokyo or some startup guy in Vietnam It's going to drop.
Why
large
are they
bank.
Starting in Vietnam? Yeah. They've had a pretty good run. They've had a decent run the last couple of years.
No, but you know it's going to be some Asian tech dude.
There's the tech dude mixed with just people that, I mean, think about old Hollywood memorabilia in general goes for an extreme amount of money. Like, this falls under so many categories of super fans.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be, now I'm really hoping that the buyer stays anonymous, because if it is an Asian billionaire that buys a nunchucks, would be really upset. Mm-hmm. No, Kimmy, these things are going to go for like $250,000, right?
I would think. I'm surprised it's starting so low.
Here's why. So that's not the start. That's what they expect them to
or
go
expect?
For.
Okay. Yes. I didn't know if like that's where the bidding started.
But here's what makes these nunchucks so cool.
What's that?
I mean, past the attachment to Bruce Lee, past being in an iconic movie like that, it's one of the few things you can buy from a celebrity auction that you can actually use.
Oh, yeah. Because you could fart around with them.
Yeah. Other memorabilia.
You could take out a lamp in your house.
Take out yourself.
Other memorabilia we've seen, it's not really functional, right? Like, you're not going to wear the hat from Indiana Jones out of the house, right? No. You're going to put that under glass.
Some people in this room might.
You're not going to throw a Super Bowl I used football around the backyard. Mm. That thing's going. Yeah. You could mess with these, and they would still be in good condition, because that's what they're meant for.
Right.
And
you beat them up.
You cannot pay for these nunchucks and not at least in the house once take your shirt off in the living room and play with them.
All right. Yeah.
Fair enough?
Do you kind of have to know what you're doing with nunchucks, though?
No.
Are you sure?
Nunchucks looks like the easiest
they
of
look
weapons.
Scary if you don't know how to like swing them around.
Well, it looks like it's the greatest weapon to knock yourself out.
Yes.
Look, there is a generation of boys around my age that are nunchucks experts, thanks to the costumes and toys we got from the Ninja Turtles.
There's big ninja theme going on in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the kids' movies, they all did like karate.
Three Ninjas,
or some
that
sort
was a good
of,
one.
Yeah.
Tum-Tum.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, like, when I was a kid, I had all four of the Ninja Turtles playsets. What they did was, it was the mask, and it had a plastic turtle nose on it, and then you got the weapon associated with the turtle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you got Donatello's bow, you got Leonardo's swords, you got Raphael's scythe.
You're the nunchuck one?
Yeah, and you got, Michelangelo's nunchucks. And let me tell you something, man. I use the hell out of those nunchucks. And I got moves with nunchucks to this day. It's like riding a bike. You give me an hour, I'm back.
For every sibling that had the Ninja Turtle nunchucks, there was another sibling that despised those Ninja Turtle nunchucks.
Well, like, my brother and I would play Ninja Turtles, and I always wanted the nunchucks because the nunchucks could hurt you the most.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, like,
were they hard? I mean, they were like legit.
They were like hollow plastic. Right. Hollow plastic.
But
right?
It would still sting.
Oh, well, it did. Because, like, I remember, like, the Leonardo sword that bent in half real quick. That was over, right? You couldn't use that. The Donatello bow was hollow inside, and you couldn't get good torque on it, right? The size, they were just plastic. They didn't hurt that much. But for whatever reason, the nunchucks, like, once you got them going, they were just hollow enough where it was like, it was like the whip of a towel.
Because I can remember you could buy, like, legitimate ones as a kid.
You could?
Oh, yeah. In Florida? Absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But those are probably real nunchucks.
They were nunchucks made out of alligator.
And I remember kids also having those stars.
The Ninja Stars,
Like, I remember them taking them to school and showing people.
Oh, man.
Like actual Ninja Stars?
Yeah. Yeah. But don't forget, those movies were huge in the 70s.
Well, I didn't think they let kids have actual weapons. Yes.
Bro, you could buy that stuff at, like, stores. But now this is
you can buy them at, like, stores.
This is Florida 1970s.
Man.
Yeah.
252 WCMF. We're talking about how Bruce Lee, there is a massive memorabilia sale auction of some of his personal stuff. Among the items, it looks like the most exciting item is his nunchucks from Enter the Dragon. They were made specifically for him. You can own them, and they believe they're going to go for $50,000. The break room is calling way over the $50,000 price. Is there a more iconic weapon you would want to own from a movie?
I would think the biggest weapon of all time would be Clint Eastwood's 44 Magnum.
I don't even know why you have to come in, because not only did I hit you on Rich Asian Businessman, I knew you were going to say Clint Eastwood.
Like, because
Magnum.
He even explains in the movie what he's holding in his hand to the guy he's about to shoot. Like, he breaks it down like he's reading it from the manual.
There's what about Indiana Jones' whip? That's not more iconic.
The bullwhip would be a big one.
I mean, the Star Wars lightsaber is always a.
Yeah, but that's not a real. You can't.
And
like,
don't forget, it's in not Indiana a, yeah. Jones, he doesn't pull out the whip. He pulls out a gun and shoots that guy. He leaves. Right.
He shoots a guy.
But he uses a gun. He goes all Clint on his ass.
I can't think of a more iconic weapon.
Not one that would be like widely well known.
Well, I guess when it comes to the nunchucks of Bruce Lee, everybody knows Bruce Lee. Not everyone watched Kung Fu movies. Like, you have to be a special kind of person to watch Kung Fu. I was never that guy, right? Although Kareem's in Enter the Dragon, right? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Is that the one he's in?
Yeah, he practice with him, yeah, with Bruce Lee.
It is. It's very strange to think that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in multiple iconic movies in the 1970s, yes. Right? Because he was in Airplane too, mm-hmm. Right? There's no one like that today.
No. Especially yeah. Him, because he didn't come across as that guy.
He was intellectual. Super intellectual.
He was.
See, go home.
Big jazz guy.
Shut up! You know, he like bruised for the life that Bruce led.
Yes.
Kimmy, what do we got over here?
I was just looking up like iconic movie weapons, and there are a lot of them from scary movies, like Jason's machete,
okay.
Stuff like that.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd want the gun from Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, but having that bloody chainsaw would be cool.
Zorro sword.
Oh, Zorro.
Get out of here. There's been so many Zorro movies, I can't
But the original Zorro. From the 1920s.
What, are you going to go fencing? Shut up. Why? That's such a sissy weapon.
The mini gun from Men in Black is listed on here.
Really?
Yeah.
Who the hell wants that?
I don't know.
The one that's like little, but it makes a big boom. Noisy cricket, I think is what it's called. Oh, I'm sad I know that.
How about something from like double, like James Bond?
Okay, so that, but I can't tell you what weapon he used. Yeah.
I can't either, because he had like 1,000, like the car was a goddamn weapon. Remember the machine gun coming out of the grill, and it had like the oil slick and the smoke screen and all that stuff?
What about the Batarang? You can have the Batarang, or you can have Bruce Lee's nunchucks.
What's
what
the Batarang?
The Batman Boomerang.
Oh, off the utility belt. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
Here's a big one.
Okay.
Scarface's machine gun.
Oh.
Eh.
Yeah.
But you know there is a big market for that out there.
Here's
Say hello to my little friend.
I got you. I can't picture in my head what the guy, I know, I've seen the movie. I just can't picture, like the gun doesn't look
like a machine gun.
It just looks like a machine
gun.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The whip is iconic. The nunchucks, I can see those in my head. The machine gun's just a machine gun. I can get any machine gun and be like, oh, it's Scarface's machine gun. There are some names that are so iconic.
Yeah.
Literally anything they have touched is worth a fortune. Mm. And with this man's icon status, and this movie, for people of a certain age, being like the creme de la creme of this type of movie.
Oh.
There's no way these only go for what they're expecting.
Can't wait to hear what it is.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Are you a Bruce Lee guy?
I followed him. Yeah, kind of.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Like, there are some guys that are super into kung fu.
I mean, his story is bigger than his movies to me.
Okay, so you're a snob is what you're
Yeah.
You're Bruce Lee snob.
I'm more into his personal story than I am into the movies. You know, if you want to be a movie guy, that's cool, but I don't think you're getting deep enough in the Lee.
But he is a global icon.
Yes, he is. Bruce Lee has several pieces of personal memorabilia that's about to be auctioned off.
Yeah.
Right? Among the iconic items being auctioned will be his legendary nunchucks from the movie Enter the Dragon.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. They were handmade to his specification. They were the ones that he actually uses in the movie. So you've seen them on film.
All right.
And they can be yours.
How much?
If the price is right. So it's an auction, but they have an estimate of what they think they'll go for. Tommy, do you want to take a shot?
$50,000.
You hit it right on the head.
Wow. You're kidding me.
You hit it right. Wow, you finally did
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you. I know your Bruce so Lee fact.
Proud of you. Well, because he's more into the life.
I'm actually surprised it's not more.
It's going to be more.
Yeah.
I mean, like, these are one of a kind.
But then, don't forget, he's a global icon, so you're dealing with people that love him.
Right.
You're thinking of, like, rich Asian businessman.
How did I
drives everything up. There's going to be a guy. There's going to be a Hong Kong billionaire or a dude in Tokyo. Or some startup guy in Vietnam that's going to drop
Why
large
Why are they
bank.
Starting in Vietnam?
Yeah. They've had a pretty good run. They got a startup.
They've had a decent run the last couple of years.
No, but you know, it's going to be some Asian tech dude.
There's the tech dude mixed with just people that, I mean, think about old Hollywood memorabilia in general goes for an extreme amount of money. Like, this falls under so many categories of super fans.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I don't know. It'll be... Now, I'm really hoping that the buyer stays anonymous, because if it is an Asian billionaire that buys a nunchucks, would be really upset.
Mm-hmm.
No, Kimmy, these things are going to go for like $250,000, right?
I would think. I'm surprised it's starting so low.
Here's what... So that's not the start. That's what they expect them to
or
go
expect?
For.
Okay, yes. I didn't know if like that's where the bidding started.
But here's what makes these nunchucks so cool.
What's that?
I mean, past the attachment to Bruce Lee, past being in an iconic movie like that, it's one of the few things you can buy from a celebrity auction that you can actually use.
Oh, yeah. Because you could fart around with them.
Yeah. Other memorabilia...
You could take out a lamp in your house.
Take out yourself.
Other memorabilia we've seen, it's not really functional, right? Like, you're not going to wear the hat from Indiana Jones out of the house, right?
No.
You're going to put that under glass.
Some people in this room might.
You're not going to throw a Super Bowl I used football around the backyard. Mm. That thing's going.
Yeah.
You could mess with these, and they would still be in good condition, because that's what they're meant for.
Right.
And
you beat them up.
You cannot pay for these nunchucks and not at least in the house once take your shirt off in the living room and play with them.
All right. Yeah.
Fair enough?
Do you kind of have to know what you're doing with nunchucks, though?
No.
Are you sure?
Nunchucks look like the easiest
they
of
look
weapons.
Scary if you don't know how to, like, swing them around.
Well, it looks like it's the greatest weapon to knock yourself out.
Yes.
Look, there is a generation of boys around my age that are nunchucks experts thanks to the costumes and toys we got from the Ninja Turtles.
There's big ninja theme going on in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all the kids' movies, they all did, like, karate.
Three Ninjas,
or some
that
sort
was a good
of,
one.
Yeah.
Tum-Tum.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, like, when I was a kid, I had all four of the Ninja Turtles playsets. What they did was, it was the mask, and it had a plastic turtle nose on it. And then you got the weapon associated with the turtle.
Okay.
So you got Donatello's bow.
Yeah.
You got Leonardo's swords. You got Raphael's scythe.
You're the nunchuck one.
Yeah. And you got, Michelangelo's nunchucks. And let me tell you something, man. I use the hell out of those nunchucks. And I got moves with nunchucks to this day. It's like riding a bike. You give me an hour, I'm back.
For every sibling that had the Ninja Turtle nunchucks, there was another sibling that despised those Ninja Turtle nunchucks.
Well, like, my brother and I would play Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And I always wanted the nunchucks because the nunchucks could hurt you the most.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, like,
were they hard? I mean, they were like legit.
They were like hollow plastic. Right. Hollow plastic.
But
right?
It would still sting.
Oh, well, it did. Because, like, I remember, like, the Leonardo sword that bent in half real quick. That was over, right? You couldn't use that. The Donatello bow was hollow inside, and you couldn't get good torque on it, right? The size, they were just plastic. They didn't hurt that much. But for whatever reason, the nunchucks, like, once you got them going, they were just hollow enough where it was like, it was like the whip of a towel.
Because I can remember you could buy, like, legitimate ones as a kid.
You could?
Oh, yeah. In Florida? Absolutely.
Okay, you didn't say
Florida. Those are probably real nunchucks.
They were. Nunchucks made out of alligator.
And I remember kids also having those stars.
The Ninja stars,
yeah. Like, I remember them taking them to school and showing people.
Oh, man.
Like actual ninja stars?
Yeah. Yeah. But don't forget, those movies were huge in the 70s.
Well, I didn't think they let kids have actual weapons.
Yes.
Bro, you could buy that stuff at, like, stores. But now this is
you could buy them at, like, stores.
This is Florida 1970s.
Man.
Yeah.
252 WCMF. We're talking about how Bruce Lee, there is a massive memorabilia sale auction of some of his personal stuff. Among the items, it looks like the most exciting item is his nunchucks from Enter the Dragon. They were made specifically for him. You can own them, and they believe they're going to go for $50,000. The break room is calling way over the $50,000 price. Is there a more iconic weapon you would want to own from a movie?
I would think the biggest weapon of all time would be Clint Eastwood's 44 Magnum.
I don't even know why you have to come in, because not only did I hit you on Rich Asian Businessman, I knew you were going to say Clint Eastwood.
Like, because
Magnum.
He even explains in the movie what he's holding in his hand to the guy he's about to shoot. Like, he breaks it down like he's reading it from the manual.
There's what about Indiana Jones' whip? That's not more iconic.
The bullwhip would be a big one.
I mean, the Star Wars lightsaber is always a.
Yeah, but that's not a real. You can't.
And don't forget,
it's
in Indiana Jones, he doesn't pull out the whip. He pulls out a gun and shoots that guy.
Scene,
he leaves. Right.
He shoots a guy.
But he uses a gun. He goes all Clint on his ass.
I can't think of a more iconic weapon.
Not one that would be, like, widely well known.
Well, I guess when it comes to the nunchucks of Bruce Lee, everybody knows Bruce Lee. Not everyone watched Kung Fu movies. Like, you have to be a special kind of person to watch Kung Fu. I was never that guy, right? Although Kareem's in Enter the Dragon, right? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Is that the one he's in?
Yeah, he practiced with him, with Bruce Lee.
It's very strange to think that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in multiple iconic movies in the 1970s, right? Because he was in Airplane too, right? There's no one like that today.
No. Especially him, because he didn't come across as that guy.
He was intellectual. Super intellectual.
He was.
See, go home.
Big jazz guy.
Shut up! You know, he liked Bruce for the life that Bruce led.
Yes.
Kimmy, what do we got over here?
I was just looking up, like, iconic movie weapons, and there are a lot of them from scary movies, like Jason's machete, stuff like that.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd want the gun from Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, but having that bloody chainsaw would be cool.
Zorro sword.
Oh, Zorro.
Get out of here. It's been so many Zorro movies, I can't
The original Zorro from the 1920s.
What, are you going to go fencing? Shut up. Why? That's such a sissy weapon.
The mini gun from Men in Black is listed on here.
Really?
Yeah.
Who the hell wants that?
I don't know.
The one that's, like, little, but it makes a big boom. Noisy cricket, I think is what it's called.
Oh,
I'm sad I know that.
How about something from, like, like James Bond?
Okay, so that, but I can't tell you what weapon he used.
Yeah.
I can't either, because he had, like, 1,000, like, the car was a goddamn weapon. Remember the machine gun coming out of the grill, and it had, like, the oil slick and the smoke screen and all that stuff?
What about the Batarang? You can have the Batarang, or you can have Bruce Lee's nunchucks.
What's the Batarang?
The Batman Boomerang.
Oh, off the utility belt. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
Here's a big one. Scarface's machine gun.
Oh.
Eh.
Yeah.
But you know there's a big market for that out there.
Here's
Say hello to my little friend.
I got you. I can't picture in my head what the guy, I've seen the movie. I just can't picture, like the gun doesn't look
like a machine gun.
It just looks like a machine gun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The whip is iconic. The nunchucks, I can see those in my head. The machine gun's just a machine gun. I can get any machine gun and be like, oh, it's Scarface's machine gun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.